Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And today we're talking about generations, aren't we,
yes,
Tim?
Yes, we are. I love this.
I do too. I think this is you and I's favorite subject. We just get so fascinated
so
on it.
So listeners, you need to know, I'm a baby boomer, okay, born in 1959. And Andrew would be a millennial born in
88.
That's right. Okay, mm-hmm. So about 30 years later.
About 30 years. We do see the world very similarly for two people from two different generations.
That's right.
But one of the reasons we're so fascinated by it is because we get to have conversations with multiple generations all the time and go, do you remember when, or can you believe, or whatever it is.
Yes.
And I had one of these moments weeks ago.
Okay.
I did my most recent focus group. And I ask a lot of different questions. I'm really trying to get to these high school kids telling me just about their daily life experience. And one of the things I know is a part of daily life for these kids is binging. We talk about that phenomenon all the time. And I'm not talking about binging on food. I'm talking about Netflix and video games.
Our generation binged on food.
Exactly,
and we passed on a new type.
We've moved on to that. We don't have time for food. We're binging on Netflix. So I was talking with a group of students talking about this phenomenon, and I brought up the general category of binging, and I said, how do you know when you've gone too far, done it too long, watched too much Netflix or played too many video games? And everybody sort of unanimously says, oh, man, your eyes hurt.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it's funny because I can think back to a handful of times in my life where I did something so – stared at a screen so long my eyes hurt and I'm like, what am I doing with my life? You start questioning everything, you know? I don't know if you've ever been in that place before. So I'm trying to wonder, like, what happens mentally to a student when they get to that place where their eyes hurt? You know, do they – question what they're doing? Do they walk away and go on a walk? Do they take a nap? Like, what happens?
Yeah.
So I said, what do you do to, you know – to recover from that,
yes,
you know? And the young man next to me, without missing a beat, says, oh, I just keep eye drops next to my chair.
Oh, my gosh.
As in, the answer to I've been playing too long
is not to stop playing.
It's whip your eyes into shape and keep going, you know? I was just, we all laughed, but I was like, I don't even think he knows what he just said.
Yeah. And how silly that sounds to a 50-year-old, perhaps.
Exactly.
Why wouldn't you just stop that? I don't even know why you started in the first place.
Why would you play so long that it hurts, you know? But here's the funny thing about this. Yeah. Every one of us, we might look down at that high school student and say, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But we've all had a moment in our lives where an adult looked at us and said, what are you doing? You know?
I remember this. So way back in the 60s and 70s when I was growing up, my parents' generation, not just my parents, my parents' generation, this is what, 1960s was when long hair got popular. The Beatles came to the Ed Sullivan Show in 1962, I believe.
Yeah, and it was touching their ears.
Ears, just over the top. OMG, OMG, you know?
Yeah.
So that was a big deal. But mom and dad, you know, they just didn't understand why I wanted to wear my hair longer. It looks like a girl.
Yeah.
It looks
What's
like
wrong
a
with
girl.
You?
What's wrong with you? And then when I was in high school, we moved to San Diego. So I'm in San Diego, California. I'm wearing puka shells around my neck. I mean, I did.
Your dad thinks it looks ridiculous.
Yeah, it looks like a girl. What are you doing there?
Yeah.
You know? And he wasn't cruel at all, but it was just something that his builder generation did not understand.
My parents were exactly the same way. They laughed at a lot of things that we did.
Yeah.
And one of the things, I had long hair as well, but when I was growing up, the really popular thing was that the front of your hair, your bangs, kind of flipped out a little bit.
Yes.
And so what we would do is when we got out of the shower, you'd put on a toboggan, right?
Yeah.
A cap, and you would put that on, and then you'd kind of just like keep molding your hair for the next 30 minutes. So it would flip out as your hair dried. And so when you take that toboggan off, your hair looks like a helmet with a little flip, you know? And I go back and look at those photos, and I'm like, I did look kind of ridiculous,
you
know?
Right. And parents at the time thought, what are you doing?
Exactly. We also wore skateboarding shoes, even though none of us ever skateboarded, you know?
In Tennessee.
We're keeping it real. Isn't that so funny how every generation has stuff like that, and the rest of us look down on them and go, what are you doing? When in actuality, I think there's a pattern to this talking about.
No doubt about it. So I have been studying generational differences. I'm one of many, many people that do this, but for over 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay? And I have noticed, in fact, I remember first noticing how Gen X, the Gen Xers, were trending away from the baby boomer habits. So the boomers were moving into midlife in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and the Xers were different. Ooh, you know, that sort of thing.
And intentionally so.
Yes, that's right. In fact, you're on purpose, not on accident.
Yes.
And then I remember when the millennials started breaking with the Gen Xers and right around the year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember not very long ago, we started noticing, you and me, how Gen Z was breaking from the millennials. Now the millennials are older. And I heard somebody say recently that they were in their 30s. You're 30 now, aren't you?
I am. I just turned 30, yeah.
Okay, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
So, you know, if you're in your 30s, this guy said, it's so weird when you're in your 30s. The old people think you're young. The young people think you're old.
Yep.
You're kind of in no man's land, you know? And does it feel this way?
Yeah, I sit down with those high school students, and they're like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
But when I'm with adults, it's kind of like, you've got a lot left to learn, you know? So it is funny how you're in that in-between. I'm fine here, you know?
Yeah,
nobody's
right.
complaining, but it is very funny.
Yeah, it is. So what we'd like to do today, Andrew, and I want you to lead this conversation, but I really, every new generation, and now it's Generation Z, has a narrative that's going to be slightly different and has been created to react to the previous generations.
Yeah.
So there's a response of a 17-year-old, let's say, to somebody who's in their 30s, to somebody who's in their 50s, to somebody who's in their 70s.
Yes.
And, you know, grandparents, parents, brothers and sisters. And if you know the pattern, you can tend to play the role that you really are best suited to play.
That's so good. That's so good. Yeah. So you talk about three trends here. And
by
the way, I think it would be wise to offer just a little bit of clarity. Generation Z, we say those are the students born since the turn of the 21st century.
Yeah. So they're growing up as teenagers. That might be college, high school, middle school, and elementary school kids.
Yeah. Kind of 19 and younger, somewhere around there.
Right.
Very good. So as we lead each generation, as this generation is coming of age, we need to remember three facts about them, how they transition.
Yes.
So Tim, walk us through those three.
Okay. So this was inspired by Neil Howe and the late William Strauss. They're historians, actually, but they wrote about how each generation begins to form historically over the last 20th century or 19th century. So let me give you three statements, and then, Andrew, I'd love to just volley back and forth, hopefully to the benefit of our listeners.
Absolutely.
Here. Sometimes we volley and it's not to the benefit
of our
listeners. Yeah,
it's just for us, you know.
Right. All right, so number one, each new generation tends to break with the previous generation, i.e., they might say in their minds, you're cool, millennials, but we're cooler.
Yeah.
Okay? We're the newest version of cool. You were one brand of blue jeans. We were a totally different brand. In fact, on purpose, I'm not wearing your brand of blue jeans. You kind of grew up in in the 90s. You were in the 90s or something.
Yes.
So it's a definite break with the previous generation. They have perhaps a different platform on social media. Not that they couldn't use Facebook, but, you know, mom's on Facebook, or you're on this or that, so I'm on Snapchat, or you name it. There's a whole myriad of them out there. They have new terms in the vocabulary. This happens in every generation. I remember when groovy or rad was, you know, the newest vocabulary. Oh, my gosh, what's that mean? I don't know what that means, you know. And then I remember when bad meant good, you know, a long time ago. So new vocabulary comes along. This is normal. And I just think every new generation is determined. We will not imitate you. We want to be identified with someone else.
Yep.
And you millennials were lazy slackers. We're not going to be lazy slackers in Gen Z. You know, that's, in fact, whatever you were, we're going to break from it.
Yes.
So parents listening, expect your kids to go through this. This will be a natural evolution of their growth and their brain development. Remember back in the day when you kind of did this, most of you listening would say, yep, I guess I did that too. So for this generation, Andrew, you as a millennial might be a big brother. You're not their dad.
Yes.
You're not their granddad.
Yes.
You're a big brother. And the best way you can approach this, we'll talk more about this later, is to play that role you're supposed to play and not try to be the cool, you know, twin, you know, of Gen Z or whatever.
Yeah, when a generation is trying to make a name for themselves, they're trying to correct some of the biggest issues, break with some of the biggest problems. And the easiest people to point to are the ones who just went through what they went through.
That's exactly right.
I remember when we were growing up, there were lots of breaks from Generation X, right? I remember vividly the early 2000s. And whereas in the late 80s, early 90s, just to use music as an example, right? Grunge rock was really big.
Yeah.
In the world of rap, it was kind of like gangster rap. We were talking about our the difficult situations we grew up in, like all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
All of the topical stuff was really about how the world was a little bit difficult, hard place to live in, those kinds of things. If you look at music in the early 2000s, it could not have been more different.
No.
Right? We're not grunge rock, we're pop. It's Britney Spears, like, Oops, I Did It Again.
NSYNC. bubblegum songs exactly. by boy bands. Yeah, no doubt exactly. about it.
And that was my generation saying, what's wrong with you guys? The yeah. world's not that bad.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And that was our break. And even actually in the world of rap, those gangster rap songs yeah. about growing up in the hood all of a sudden transitioned to club music,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I'm into club. Yeah. It's my birthday. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah, all yeah, of those yeah. songs that came along. Again, a turn up where
yes.
the world's not actually that bad. What's wrong with you guys? Yeah. I can't believe you had such a downer perspective.
So my advice to a millennial listener would be not to try to win the cool war with
yes.
the Gen Z.
You're going
to
lose that yeah, war. Yeah.
And, yeah. In fact, whatever you do, they'll automatically go, well, that must be you. That's certainly not me.
Yes.
Even if I like it, I won't yeah. tell you I like it.
Yes.
So I think that's very important. And even just the examples you've just shared, Andrew, are so vivid illustrations of I need to play the role that I need to play. I don't need to try to be forever 21, you know,
yes.
that sort of thing.
Yeah, and every generation is going to do this. So just having a posture of humility, saying, what do you guys think?
Yeah,
all those
yes.
things have really helped me in my interactions with Generation
yeah.
Z.
And you're only wishing they would have said that to you at 18 years old.
I am, yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so number two. Number one, just to reiterate, was every new generation breaks with the previous generation. You're cool, but we're cooler. Number two, every new generation corrects two generations earlier, two generations older, if you will. So basically a statement might be, I love my mom and dad, but I will not do what my parents did, okay? So there's an intuitive sense in this emerging generation of teens and 20-somethings, I'm going to try to correct the wrongs that have been done by the established midlife adults. And by the way, if they look around themselves right now, it's not hard to find many mistakes. They see mistakes all through Washington, D.C., through Wall Street, corporate America, athletic, selfish athletes, you know, it's not, you don't have to look hard to go, ugh.
Yeah.
And those are established adults now to them.
Yeah.
So they're going to try to correct that. And you'll see some reactions that will be corrective in nature. Even if you think they're not strategic, they're trying to correct the wrongs of the older adults.
Well said. So to use another millennial example, I think the Generation Z examples will become illuminated as time goes on. But if you look back at millennials, I think of two things. Having grown up in the millennial generation, one big thing was, I think, underparenting had led yeah. to overparenting.
Yes,
right?
It did.
Millennials looked at boomers and said, the divorce rate was high, yeah. dad was never home,
yeah.
some of those things, and they said, that's not going to be us. So
yeah.
you had a rise in parents staying home with their kids
yeah.
and being overly interested in the yeah. stuff of their kids' life.
Over-functioning, we
over-functioning
like to call it.
Yes. is a word that we yeah. would use. So that was actually very common.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
that's one way. Another one I thought of that's really interesting is an alarm bell that I have noticed in my own head. I think in the time of boomers, the answer to make your kids happy was more stuff. Right.
Yeah, yes.
Whereas now, if you look at our world, our value is minimalism and simplicity.
Yes. Yeah.
In fact, even in my wife and I's house, we don't have any kids. But yeah. if we get too much stuff, it's like this alarm bell goes
yeah.
off, and we're like, we need to hit Goodwill
yeah.
and to get rid
too
of
much
some
clutter.
Too
yeah.
much clutter.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really strong. Not every boomer was that way, but certainly the
yes.
value of having a lot of stuff to now the value of having as little stuff as we can live with and manage with is a really interesting break.
So what I have found that's kind of interesting in here is Gen Z and Gen X can be similar.
Yes.
Both grew up a little bit jaded, a little bit skeptical, not exactly alike, but
mm-hmm.
somewhat alike, just like boomers and millennials saw some similarities. So since they share a similar skeptical paradigm, the kids still, though, yearn to do something that's different than their parents' generation, that their parents' generation, let's say, failed to do.
Yep.
So I think a Gen Xer, for instance, needs to be secure enough to be the bad cop.
Yeah.
And to say, I'm not trying to be cool this week. You may not like me this week, sweetheart, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And be okay with being a leader, not a pal. I often say in parent conferences, they need a parent, not a pal from you right now. You can be a best friend after they're 21. Right now, they need a leader that's...
Yeah.
Modeling, not buying beer for them underage, but modeling the right way to live. Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's so good.
So, all right, so that's number two.
Yeah, let's do the third one.
All right, the third and final one, each new emerging generation replaces three generations ahead of them. So they break, they correct, and now they replace. So this is where the youngest generation might go, ooh, I love retro, and I cherish my grandparents' generation.
Yes.
Those things that I see slipping away. They feel this. It's a feeling more than anything. I don't think they've calculated the years. Some might.
Mm-hmm.
But they see grandma and grandpa in their 70s or 80s, maybe. I don't know. And they're thinking, ugh, wow, I'm losing that. So you see the introduction of the old back into the, it's ancient future.
Yes.
Something that was used, and I want you to illustrate this.
Yes.
But something that was used back in the 50s and 60s, maybe 70s, is now being reintroduced today.
That's so good. So two examples of this, again, from the millennials, looking back to the builders, right? The sort of World War II, post-World War II generation. Two things that came back during when I was in high school. One was records.
Yes, yeah.
Which is fascinating because that's an old technology that, I mean, could not be more out of date.
We call them LPs, long playing.
Yeah.
There were 11 songs you could listen to.
Which is, again, funny because the time they came back was the time of iTunes.
Yeah.
So literally at the same moment as I could build my own playlist, customize it however I wanted, I re-limited myself to something I had to carry around with me and that I couldn't customize myself.
That's right, yeah. And you had to find a record player.
Exactly, which they're easy to find now because they've gotten so popular again. Yeah. But I think it was back to almost a billion-dollar industry
crazy.
5 or 6 years ago, which is crazy. Another one is the reintroduction of trades as a value and even as hobbies, right? So when I say trades, I mean specifically artistic skills like woodworking or leather working or all these kinds of things are now sort of
trending.
Yeah, they're trending. Yeah. They're interesting on Pinterest or on Instagram. You'll see lots of people learning these new trades. Yeah. I know one big one that's coming back in Atlanta where we live is gardening. Almost every millennial I know is planting a garden. Do they need to plant a garden? No, there's a grocery store,
right
down the road. But I think there's lots of skills and trades that are interesting to millennials to relearn that really come from, back in the day, more or less, that they're sort of retroactively bringing back.
So this intrigue that the youngest generation has may be described this way. There is a sense that that older generation is scarce now. More and more are dying off.
Yes.
And we see that happening, or we feel that happening. And those grandparents, a kid may be bonding to a grandparent faster than a parent.
Mm.
I talk to a number of couples that will say, oh, yeah, my kids love my own parents, and I feel like they bypass me.
Yeah.
Not all the time, but sometimes. And I think what might be a good analogy to explain this reality is this. In the same way that you might go to another country and you feel the intrigue of a cross-cultural experience, there is an intrigue that feels like a cross-cultural experience between a grandparent and a kid today.
Yeah,
I talk to grandparents, I do not understand them. Hey, yeah, I feel like you've gone to France and you don't understand these Frenchmen, whatever. They speak a different language, they have different customs, they have different values. Bingo, different language, different customs, different values.
Yeah.
So I feel like we need to work at those relationships, but just know there might be intrigue that you can leverage if you're older.
Yeah.
Be that mentor, be that coach if you're older. This is your chance, and you're just weird enough, different enough that you might be able to pull it off.
Yeah, so with Generation Z, for them, that's going to be the boomers. So think back to what things are we talking about during that time, what topics were interesting, what movies were coming out, what technology were we advancing, and some of that stuff may be really interesting to a Generation Z kid.
We talked before about how even in my lifetime, I remember when records, LPs, transitioned into cassette tapes to get your music, that transitioned into 8-track tapes to get your music, that transitioned into CDs, it kind of went back to cassettes, but CDs came later.
Yeah.
Cassette tapes kind of relive their life there. And then CDs gave way to the digital playlist now.
Where the iPod and all that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So it's music is the same thing. Humans are the same thing, but there's different iterations that we need to know. What role do I play in these young people's lives?
That's so good. So. All right, I'm going to go back through this list one more time because I think it'd be helpful. Each generation is going to, number one, break with the previous generation.
Yep.
You're cool, but we're cooler.
Yep.
They're also going to, number two, correct two generations older than them. So I don't want to do what my parents did.
Yes.
When I look, typically my parent is two generations older.
Yep.
I don't want to be what they are. I'm going to break away from that or correct that. Number three is they're going to replace three generations older with them. So this is the I love retro. I cherish my grandparents' generation. I want to help some of their values and customs live on now in the 21st century.
Yeah.
So it's a really interesting paradigm.
Let me just add one quick thought. Keep in mind, listeners, that this is not an exact science. This is a social science.
Certainly, yes.
So there's an art to it. But I think you find patterns. And so, Andrew, I would just say in closing, I think the three big questions we need to ask ourselves are these. What is your approach as you connect with students today? Okay. So, Andrew, you would be the big brother, not their dad.
Yes.
Not their uncle, not their grandpa.
Yep.
But for me, I remember when I first started my career, I taught students in the late 70s, early 80s. I was more like the big brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I distinctly remember moving into the uncle stage of the way I would relate to them.
Yeah.
I'm teaching. I'm not their uncle, but I'm going to relate to them like that. I'm better than their dad, a little bit younger. And now I'm in the dad stage. I could be a father to these college students.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm soon on the brink of becoming the grandfather stage where I need to relate to him even more differently. And the last thing I need to do is try to be cool. I need to be relevant, but not cool. The second question I think we need to ask after that one is this. Are you playing the appropriate role based on how they see you? So there's a perception on their part. You just said, yep. Gen Z's even like, who is this man with a beard, you know?
Yeah.
So don't try too hard to be cool.
Yeah.
Be relevant, like I said, but
yeah.
You're not going to win the cool war.
Yeah.
And that's better to
live
out
in the
that.
Generation you're in.
That's
and
right.
Understand the relationship you're going to have with them based on that.
That's right. And be secure in that.
That's good.
And that means they're not like you, and that's okay.
Yes.
The third question real quick is, what value do you add to their life? I distinctly remember, Andrew, when I moved into the stage several years ago, probably in my 50s for sure, but I thought the best way I can relate to students and my own kids at the time was share life hacks with them.
Mm.
What are some life hacks, some little tips that will give you an edge on doing life well? Well, if I'm equipping them with that, I come across like a sage more than a cool guy. That's okay. I'm not the cool guy. But boy, do they want to tune in. And they're listening to this guy in his 50s because I had these hacks on life.
Mm-hmm.
So
I love that. I love that. Do it in simple ways.
Yeah.
I remember I met a group of students the other day. And I went through a whole thing on what is leadership, and they came to me, and I basically broke it down. When people say leadership, these are the four things they're talking about. And a student came up to me and said, we've been in this conference for 3 days. Everybody keeps saying the word leadership. I didn't know how to start.
Oh, wow.
And now you've told me, you know? So it's exactly what you're just saying. Yeah. Ask, how am I adding value? How am I clarifying things? Am I giving them a life hack?
Yeah.
Am I helping
yes.
them
yeah.
get clarity where they don't have it? So this is great. Such a helpful conversation, Tim. I hope you as a listener are as interested in the topic as we are. If you want to learn more about The Next Generation, Tim and I's latest book is called Marching Off the Map. That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
You can get that book at marchingoffthemap.com. Comes along with a travel guide. I've talked to a number of people who said it's an immensely helpful resource for them as they try and understand, first of all, who this generation is, but two, what do I do to connect better with them and lead them well?
It's a great book to discuss if you are able to get a few copies. We have been in a small group that's actually talked about this book, and everybody got their copy, and they're highlighting it through.
Yep.
So I don't know how that sounds self-serving, but it might be a great group study or a faculty study or whatever, wherever
you are.
Well,
our design of it was to be helpful to groups of people to figure out
those
kinds of things. So I feel like we can endorse it on that. So marchingoffthemap.com, it is a great resource for you. As always, if you'll rate this podcast, give us 5 stars. It kind of gets the word out about this podcast, and that's really helpful to us. If you'll follow us on social media, we love connecting with you there. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram are really great places to do that, at Growing Leaders, at Tim Elmore. And then lastly, if you've got ideas for this podcast, ways you feel like we can make it better, questions you want answered, people you want us to interview, we love hearing from you via email, podcast@growingleaders.com. Shoot us an email, and we'd love to respond to that. We really enjoy getting those. So, Tim, thanks so much for leading us through this conversation. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.